The Truth About Recruiting That Will Transform Your Results, Part 2. This is the Recruit Me Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 165. Welcome to the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I'm John Fugler, athletic scholarship coach and a dad of two scholarship athletes. I'm also the CEO of Recruit Me, a podcaster, of course, also an author and speaker. Our sponsor is my book, The Athletic Scholarship Playbook, Complete College Recruiting Roadmap for High School Athletes and Parents. It's available on Amazon, of course. This podcast is 15 minutes, so it will change your scholarship future. Last week it was 16 minutes. So I dig in, I give you takeaways you can use immediately, and I better talk faster this week. Hey, you can find each episode on my website, recruitme.com, but it's much easier when you use a podcast app. You might be doing that right now, the Apple Podcast app, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeart, and others. So glad to be here with you. Actually, I am not here with you. I am coming home from Africa as you listen to this. It's true. Had to record a couple shows in advance before heading over to West Africa and coming back from a recruiting trip. Actually, no, but you never know. I always carry a couple of my books with me to give athletes or parents if I see that there are athletes on board when I'm traveling and hand these out, and you just never know. But this was not a recruiting trip. If it does turn out to be that way, I'll let you know. Hey, I like to give you a high energy 15 minutes. You may have figured that out already. I hate it when I listen to podcasts that are boring. So, hey, I put enthusiasm into it. I try to keep it short to the point and give you something that produces results. And that's no exception here. One thing I want to say to you is action produces traction. If you really want to get recruited, parents, if you want your son or daughter recruited, you got to take action. It's not going to just happen. Action produces traction. Keep that in mind as you listen to these episodes. Last week, we talked about the truth, and I guess the truths about recruiting that will transform your results. I didn't get very far. I covered three truths. I wanted to go in depth. I wanted to really have them sink in. And this time, we'll see how far we can get. I've got a total of 10 I want to share with you, and we'll see how far we get. So let's dig in here. You get these right, and I'll tell you, it will transform your results. You're going to find yourself in a different place because you're going to make the most of your time. You're going to do the things that really count. Each of the truths has a corresponding fallacy, and I've been introducing each truth with a fallacy just to contrast it for you. And this is one that involves timing. This number four, fallacy number four, which will follow with truth number four, involves timing. I think one of the most often asked questions I get from parents is it too early to start the recruiting process? And then on the other side, am I too late to start the recruiting process? And there's a fallacy out there on the late side. In other words, there are a lot of families that are having to play catch up because they believe that they can wait until their senior year, their son or daughter's senior year, to look for athletic scholarships. Well, that's hard, and I'll explain why. The school selection process that you're going to go through, the whole recruiting process, can take a year or more. And I encourage, in an ideal world, I don't know when you're listening to this, what year your son or daughter is in, or if you are the athlete, what year you're in. But I encourage you to start in freshman or sophomore year. You don't have to go full board. You don't have to, you know, go 100 miles an hour down the road in this process. But you're able to spread it out more if you're starting earlier. One major college coach says he starts looking at an athlete in his sophomore year of high school. You're not going to find coaches who are making personal contact with you in your freshman and sophomore year because they can't do that. I mean, they can do some standard things, but here's what I recommend. So don't get upset if you're not being heard from, if you're reaching out in freshman and sophomore year. And reaching out's important. And that, listen to last week's episode. I go through three things that are foundational to your recruiting plan and your recruiting efforts to get that scholarship. So in freshman and sophomore years, you can start gathering information about schools and programs. You can even make initial contact. Begin sending stats to the coaches after the varsity or club level. And that's what you can do in freshman and sophomore year, especially freshman year. It's your chance to really get a look at the landscape, make your list of schools, do some research on schools and coaches. You don't have to rush into this in your freshman year. Coaches are not looking at freshmen. Rarely are they looking at freshmen. They're trying to fill their roster for this coming year and the year after. They're looking more at juniors and seniors. But you can prepare so that when you hit your junior year, you hit your senior year, you are really running. And this whole recruiting thing isn't something new. You're experienced at it. Definitely start the process no later than junior year. As I mentioned, the coach is under certain restrictions on when he or she can contact you. You can go to the NCAA and NAIA websites where there's a bunch of recruiting rules, contact information. It is pretty detailed. Thankfully, you don't have to know it all. The coaches do. They change often too. So go to the website and check that out. Recruiting calendars are important. Recruiting guides. Really read as much as you can. Now, if you're in your senior year and you say, "Well, I guess it's too late," no, that's not true. You just have to accelerate the process. I encourage you to get a hold of my book, The Athletic Scholarship Playbook. If you don't have it already, invest the, I think it's $14. You can get it. If you got Amazon Prime, no shipping, but it's worth it. Get it, start working on it. You just got to compress what you do. So that's the fourth one. First three last week, that's the fourth. And here's another fallacy that, man, we got to get this. I keep hearing this, that parents and athletes believe that most athletic scholarships are full rides. You got your sights set so high that your son or daughter is going to get a full ride scholarship. And in reality, the truth that you want to know is this. Bank on this one, that most athletic scholarships are not full rides. Let me explain this further. Football and basketball, yes, those are full ride scholarships, and they can only do full ride. This is a D1. But outside that, it's very rare for a student athlete to be offered a full ride at any school. Coaches have limited scholarships. They have limits set by the NCAA as to how many scholarships they have available, and they have to divide them among the athletes. Baseball is 11.7. Beach volleyball, yeah, did you know there's beach volleyball? Women's beach volleyball, they got 6. Women's bowling, 5. Fencing on the men's side, 4.5. Women, 5. Golf, 4.5 and 6. Gymnastics, 6.3 and 12. What are some other ones here? Skiing, 6.3 on the men's side, 7 on the women's side, 4.5 for tennis, and 8 on the women's side for tennis numbers of scholarships. So what they have to do is they have to divide those. Now, the ones where they do offer full rides are called headcount sports, if you ever come across that. And in terminology, if you hear that thrown around, that's what that means. They only offer full rides. But the others are equivalency sports. So baseball, 11.7, is it? Yeah, that's an equivalency sport. So they have to divide up 11.7 scholarships among all the athletes on the team. And that's why most scholarships are partial scholarships. I won't go through the list. The complete list on the men's and women's side as to which are headcount sports equivalent and which are equivalency sports. You can find that on the NCAA website. Even if your athlete is in an equivalency sport, don't overlook other financial aid you may qualify for in the form of academic scholarships and grants. And you've got to look at the whole package when it comes down to making your school choice. It's not just the athletic part of it. So just to give you an idea of dollars, I did some research. The average NCAA D1 scholarship is $14,000 and some change. D2 is $5,500 and some change. On the NAIA side, it's $6,600. And there's probably a few more dollars added to that in the last year since I did this research. But that just gives you an idea. So remember, the truth is most athletic scholarships are not full rides. They aren't. Boy, we got to move along. Just got a few minutes to go, and we're on number six. I'll cover this quickly. There's the fallacy out there is that your high school coach or guidance counselor will go to bat for you and get you the scholarship. They're going to be your cheerleader. They're going to walk you through this. They're going to make the contacts with coaches. And they believe in you, so they're going to work on your behalf. And there's a feeling, that's really false. That's not true. That's a myth. The truth is, very few high school coaches or counselors have either the time or knowledge to do that. They can't take charge of your recruiting process. You need to own this. They might have a few contacts. Our boys' baseball coach had contacts at three or four schools, which really helped us. We were able to approach those coaches, but that was it. And none of those panned out. That just wasn't a good fit. And that is the typical case at most schools. Coaches have a few contacts, but not a ton of contacts. And they keep going to the same well over and over again. Don't rely on that. Please don't rely on that. You may have one of those coaches, and I've heard about these across the country, and they're few and far between, that they have some great contacts, and they're taking their top athletes, and they're placing them, highly recommending them, going before you in the recruiting process to get you into that program. But that is not the norm. I had one dad tell me this, that his high school coach was hands-off, totally hands-off, made it harder for him to get noticed. High school coaches also they're not really in the recruiting stream of things. That's just a part-time job for most coaches. They teach class as well. Coaching is just part-time. Imagine recruiting, that's another thing added on top of that. So this one dad contacted 50 schools. Himself, he and his son, they did together, had genuine interest from eight and received five offers. But they did the work. That illustrates the fact that you need to own the recruiting process. Don't turn it over. Don't count on others to do this job for you. Any help that you get from your coach, from your guidance counselor, anybody else, that is gravy. That's gravy. Take it, but don't rely on it. Consider yourself very blessed when that happens. I got time for one more in this episode. And this is, I hope I'm not discouraging you with the facts that I'm bringing, but these are truths. You know these and you act on these, it will indeed transform your recruiting results. There are athletes and parents thinking that the athlete, that you have to be the best player on your team, or parents, you think your son or daughter has to be the best player on your team to get an athletic scholarship. And because you're not, you don't pursue it. And you wait around and nothing happens, and it's discouraging. And yet, you have the talent to get a scholarship. The truth is, this is the truth. Even if you're not the best player on your team, a talented athlete has a great chance of being recruited. I tell my families, if you feel that your son or daughter can compete at the next level, which is the college level, I believe there's scholarship money there. You don't have to be a superstar. You have to be talented, yes, and you have to compete at the next level. You know, I mentioned last week, coaches don't have the budget or the time for massive recruiting and scouting efforts. They just don't. If a college doesn't know you exist, if they don't know that, they can't recruit you. And you need to take the initiative. But you don't have to be a superstar. You've got to be talented. You don't have to be the best on the team. Even with our sons, they were among some of the best on their team. They were among the best on their team, but no means the best in the county or state. And yet they were scholarship athletes. Consider the fact, too, on top of that, the size of our town, 40,000 people. it makes an even stronger point. Again, it goes back to taking action. Action produces traction. And that's all the time we have for this week. I've got three more of these truths I want to share with you. So we're going to a part three next week. Part three on the truth about recruiting that will transform your results. Hopefully this is helpful. If you have any questions, I'll entertain those. You can email me at john@recruitme.com, or you can, my Twitter handle is @JohnFugler. That's JohnFugler. That's it for this week. We'll talk to you. I'll be back in the States next week to talk about part three on these truths. Take care.